But still, okay, is it louder now? A little now? Better now? It's still, let me tell you, it's a little bit loud, okay? Let me tell you the answer. The answer is as follows. Halotira harava gudel maharash ben harash veitz. Kai seif, let's look at some examples. Kai seif adoini zikeni al haramban. This person, the rash veitz, the Maharash ben Harash Beitz, was obviously a descendant of the Ramban. And when he writes his Tshuvas, I do not know who this person is. The Rash Beitz is a famous Rishon, I believe. So this person was from the later Rishonim. When he refers to the Ramban, who clearly was not his grandfather, must have been that's not necessarily so. The Maharash ben Harash Beitz, how far could he have been from the Ramban? Ramban was from the later Achrayim, later Rishayim. Okay, well, so whatever it is, but obviously he was obviously not a grandson. He was a few generations. Bekama teshuvos umehem simin shin. You can look it up over there. For who shishi leRamban, shishi leRamban. Wow, six. So maybe this person was not an Achron. Obviously, it was Nachron. He was the sixth generation leRamban. Mitzad ha'im. Okay, wasn't even through the father. It was through the mother. Kimavur bit shuvaisav upuk hazit sifren shal tzadikim rabbeinu goyni ashkenaz shebezmanenu mark. So he writes to the okay, that period. That's one example. So he's still this person over here. He was six generations distant from the Ramban, from the mother's side, and yet in his writings, and he even gives you an example of which simon to look at. He calls the Ramban zikeni, my grandfather. So therefore, if it was good enough for him to refer to his great-great-great-grandfather as his grandfather, Zikeni, it should be good enough for you, the one that's asking this question, the same difference, a foolish question, it's Dvar Mshutim, you can refer to it as a grandchild. Next, Upuk Hazi, another example, Sufren Shal Tzadikim Rabbeinu Goini Ashna Shebizmanenu Mar Koisev Adoni Zikeni Al Harav Lavush. There's a person over here that's referring to the Lavush, which was way before, and he calls him Zikeni. Umar Koisev Al Harav Habach Umar Koisev Al Harav Toisus Yantiv. And they all refer to them as Zikeni. Let's now go back to Chazal. Let's go back to Midrashim. In Chazal we find Rus. Chazal referred to Rus as Bas Bino, the daughter of the son of Eglon. Cannot possibly be. There are more generations that have passed from Eglon. From Eglon, the king that lived during the time of Yehoshua, to the time of Rus. There had to be more than just Bas Bino, and yet Chazal, when they want to identify her lineage, they refer to her as a granddaughter. The Kasu Taisvus Dalav Dafka Bas Bino, the Harbe Doros Hoysa Achar Eglain. Why were there so many generations? There weren't so many generations. And they were the Yoshua time from the time of Rus was during the time of the Shaiftim. So, okay, whatever it is, there were many, Taisus says there were many generations, and yet even though there were many generations, well, the Shiva was 400 years, so I shouldn't really say there were 400 years, the Kufa 400 years, so I guess it was the later end of the spectrum, the later end of the Shaiftim, and Eglon was clearly the very, very beginning of the time of Yeshua, before the Shaiftim, so therefore, even though there were many generations, and yet you see in the Gemara, you see in the Medrash, that we refer to a grandfather as a great great-great-grandfather as a granddaughter or grandfather. He says the same idea. Period. Okay, so far we're in good company. We are from the... What?
Don't you have references to Yisrael, Saba?
It's an expression. Saba means the elder. Saba does not mean the grandfather. That's a modern Hebrew word. Saba today means a grandparent. It's a modern Hebrew. Modern Hebrew is not relevant. That's not a riot whatsoever. We discussed this. Modern Hebrew is modern Hebrew. It's made up. Doesn't mean anything. Modern Hebrew. Okay, but here we want to find a halachic nafkamina. Okay, and the bottom is going to get to the halach nafkamina of why this is important. Let's see. Gam Rashi Zal, the Psachim, Kosav, Rashi says the same exact thing, Kosav ben bino lav davka ila mizaro. Okay, I'm not sure what you're referring to, but there's an example over there where Rashi says exactly the same thing as the Rosh, and exactly the same thing as the Tosfos Yom Tov.
Why? Gemara brings down in Gittin about signing the get the
what. Oh, we're going to come to that. Oh, yeah. We're going to come to that. First, we wanted to establish, and then we'll come to on the what is the get Allah Lamaisa. Vine a Taisvis, Bechagiga Perishu, Bedbinu Lavdavko, El Al Shem, Maisav, Ayin Sham. Another example, there, the Taisvis is in a big Chiddush. He says, I'm not sure the case there, when a person says, Ben Ben, when a person takes on the Midas, when a person follows in the Hanhaga of a certain person, he also called his son or his grandson. So you don't even have to be biologically related in order to relate yourself to a certain person. The Itmar Bei Midrash, it's said in the Beis Medrash, Amar Rabbeinu HaKadosh Al Yaakov Avinu Zikeni. Rabbeinu HaKadosh, which clearly lived many, many generations after Yaakov Avinu, he called himself my father, the Zakin, Avinu Zikini, my grandfather Yaakov Avinu. The Amru Sham the Rabbeinu Amar L'Rav Efes, Kesoif Min Avdach Yehudu L'Maron Malka Antoninois. I want you to write a letter from your servant Yehuda to the king Antoninus. How could you refer to yourself as Yehuda? Your servant Yehuda, you're the Nasi. Rabbeinu HaKadosh was the Nasi, so how could you refer to yourself as your servant Yehuda? Amalei, Mo ano tov misabi. Am I better than my grandfather? Then loy kein omar, loy kach omar, koi omar avdecho Yaakov. When Yaakov Avinu went to meet Esav, his brother, he humbled himself and he used the term avdecho. Now, in this conversation, uperish b'manos kahunov v'chitoyv ani mizikeni Yaakov ayin sham, he used the word saba, like what you wanted to say, Michal. Sabi literally means grandfather, and he says over here, in the way it clearly means, am I any better than my grandfather, my great-great-great-great-grandfather, many greats, going back to Yaakov Avinu, ayin sham. Hinei ki chen lo yikshe beinechal divariti b'chomokam asher aske devarav shol gadol haraf achos tches lavram. Therefore, he winds down his tshuva and he says, therefore, when you mention over here, haraf, the person, your ancestor who is known by the title, the chesed li avram zal, mar zikeni haraf, Chasal, what does Chasal stand for? I don't know what it stands for. Chasal, Shema V'ata Dal Lecha. Chasal, what's Chasal? You know what Chasal stands for? I don't know. So Shema V'da, so basically he winds down, he says, it's Dvarim Pshutim, I brought you multiple Rayos from contemporary examples, from Midrashim, from Rashi, from Tosfos, from Tosfos Yom Tov, throughout all the generations, we see a consistent pattern that you can refer to your great, great, great grandfather as your Zokain, as Zikaini. Next, Ba'arach Mesharim Kosav She'anu Nikram B'nei Yisrael. Simple. Why are we called B'nei Yisrael? The children of Yisrael. Same exactly, because when you even call your children, you, it's not a, it's the same thing, you're referring to a descendant. This question was actually posed, should you call your great-grandfather your grandfather? Teshuva, the Halachas Katanos answered, Chazina Leila
Haram.
Oh, Chesed Li Avram. Zikeni Haraf Chesed Li Avram. Chesamach is Chesed. Okay. So the answer that the Halachas Katanos gave is, Chazina Tshuva, Chazina Leila Harash, the Kari Leila Ravon, Zikeni. We find that the Rosh called the Ravon. The Ravon was obviously his great grandfather, and he calls him Zikeni. The Atur Masker Stam Kos of Ravon. Ulutame Ozel, the Mashma Beturcha Shemishbot, Machshir Shlishi Berishoin, that a third generation is allowed, he's allowed a Shlishi Berishoin when it comes to Eidos. In Eidos, a third descendant, I guess a great Shemachshir Shlishi Berishoin. The Hevi, the Svaris Harif. I'm not sure exactly what the case is.
The Sunna, I think. Mora says over there, it depends on how well that person is known. So if you could say the grandson of, you don't have to sign your own name on the get. You could write son of Chayim.
Okay, that one will come to. That one come to. But over here, he's talking about the din of Eidos. Okay, it's a very complicated set of testimony. Yeah, you know, are you allowed to testify?
The grandson can
testify for the grandfather. Come to a court case to a bezin. Shemachshu shlishi b'rishon. The heavy source of Rifa Ramam the Machshiri. For the heavy achareihem el adas rabbeinu tam the paisel umashma. The rabbeinu tam says a grandson cannot testify in court for a grandfather. Mashma the also lemeimer the charabim suli holds like the majority. The kevin shekain if lug dara the ain lahakpid.
Skip the generation.
I don't know what this means exactly. I don't know. Let's. But what is
Nogia? Then it's like a direct descendant. But if you can give Eidos, then you're separated, so you can't call him your Zekain. That's what.
Okay, so if you're allowed to testify,
then you can't call him Zekain.
You can't call Zekain.
No longer related, so to speak.
But if you
then you are related, and therefore you can call him Zekani.
Zekani. Okay. So he wants to suggest it all depends on the degree of Eidos.
Right.
If you're not allowed to testify, you're related. You're related, so then you can call him Zekani, my grandfather. But if you can't, if you can testify, that means that you're not related. So you're not related, so therefore you have to call him by a different title. Nidoin Zena, what is this all Nagia Lochal Mais? After being befal and showing many riots, then really it's okay. It's nogeh the following: al harbe dinin kavur b'shut Yehudi Yehudi ale shehevi nida in the place l'gabe get. Exactly what you said, Rabbi Mayevsky. L'gabe get shenichta boy shem avi aviv, where in the get was written where you want to refer to you don't know your father's name. You don't know your father's name. V'chem in priya revia in bnei banim kibanim. Okay, that's something that's a very interesting idea. Uveshar mitzvah halacha don bezel gabi mish avav mumar imev shalikur lo l'torah b'shem avav. So let's go back. Three examples. Getting an aliyah to the Torah. So let's say the person's father's name. Everyone has a very bizarre name. Everyone knows this name. This person is not a good person. Everyone knows, like, is a unique name, Nimrod. Okay, there's only one Nimrod in town. There's only one Nimrod in town, and boy, you don't want to meet up with him. And everyone in Shul knows this. But not everyone. And Nimrod has a lot of children. And not everyone knows who his children are. So if you come to Shul and you say, my name is Yehuda ben Nimrod, all you have to say is Nimrod, and the whole Shul pick up their eyes and say, this is Nimrod's son? Let's get him out of here. We'll get it. So the son is a clever fellow. Don't call me by my father's name. Call me to the Torah by my grandfather's name. My grandfather's name was Yaakov. Yehuda ben Yaakov. No one's going to blink. No one's going to pay attention. So are you allowed to do this? So basically he's saying yes. Basically he's saying, well, let's see, you want to even go back another generation. You want to go back two generations. Mm-hmm. So basically he's saying that since it's all one big happy family, you go back. So basically it's permitted. It's all called part of your name. Okay, get. Same thing, you want a person to have the right. Again, let's say they do not know the name of the father. Again, you have to write the person's name. You don't know the father's name, but you know who the grandfather is. So is it a valid way to identify the person who's giving the get in the get, or a witness? A witness, he writes as his name, and they don't know who the father is. Can he identify himself in the get Christos?
The point of the get is to be able to identify the person, so depending on what the Gemara is, Machlokas 3 up to 10 generations.
10 generations, there's still a way of identification.
So it says it depends on how famous that personality was that you're saying you're the son of.
Okay, and another example he's saying, this is Nogea.
Could he only paternal?
What? No, only paternal, right. Well, I don't know. Well, he gave an example where there was a maternal grandfather. But I would assume similarly in these examples, which are probably much stricter, much more rigid, a get certainly probably only refers to a father, I would imagine. Father's father. I wouldn't. When it comes to other things which are not so important, not so rigid, maybe then the mother would be okay as well. Okay, but the last thing is pre-review, which is very interesting. Is that let's say the person has to mekayim the mitzvah deraisa pre-review a boy and a girl. Let's say Rachmana Litzlan, a person loses one of his children. He loses a son or a daughter, but the other child, the surviving child, gets married and has a son and a daughter. So the grandfather, is he mechuyev to have more children? Assume that he can, he's still young enough, is he mechuyif to have another child in order to be mashlim? Or let's say even if he doesn't, he only has a son, and that son has a son and a daughter. Is the grandfather is a yotze? Is the grandfather mechuyif to have a daughter in order for him to personally be mechayim the mitzvah of priya uraviya? Or can he rely upon his grandchildren? Because grandchildren bnei banim harayim kibanim. To how far does it go? If it goes so far that you can identify your name, Yehuda ben Yaakov, that can be your identity. So maybe that spills over into the rules of priya uraviya, that he can be even considered a kima of a mitzvah deraisa of having grandchildren. You know the joke is that grandparents, they say that they love their grandchildren so much. It's so much fun. They have so much nachas when the grandchildren come over. Had they known, I would have had them first. Had I known, I didn't know. So I made a mistake. I had my children. My children, I didn't have. They didn't give them so many toys. Okay, that concludes. What?
It is true, though, that the din is that the grandfather can claim that he was younger.
I don't know. Can he? If he leaves over.
Grandchildren.
Okay, this is very good. Okay, let's now jump down to the bottom. We continue where we left off. Lekichas matanos la'oneg Shabbos. This is a continuation we discussed yesterday. Soine matanos yichya. The Gemara here speaks about it's not a good thing to accept gifts. And we had a discussion, is this only a midas chasidus, or is there even an inyan of halacha? We learned yesterday that the Ramah in your day is mashma. There is a degree of halacha. If you don't need to take a gift, you're not allowed to take a gift. It's not just a matter of midas chasidus. You're not allowed to. Soinei matana siyach, according to the Ramah, is a shtikl halacha. Now, there are exceptions. The exception we had discussed yesterday of going to a wedding. Is a chasen kal allowed to take a gift? So we discussed that we live in a world where it's reciprocal. The reason why the chasen kal takes a gift is because they're expected that they will reciprocate. So whenever there is an expectation of reciprocation, that does not fall in the parameters of soinei matana siyachya, and even according to the Ramah, there is no issue whatsoever. And then we discussed the exception of talmidei chachamim, who the only way they can survive, you're not allowed to take money for learning. It is forbidden to take money for learning. Hashem taught Torah for free, so a teacher of Torah must teach Torah for free. So how then do we have a situation where the Rebbeim are receiving salaries and have pensions and have benefits and have tax breaks? The answer is schar b'teila. They're not being paid for the learning. They're being paid for what they could have done had they not been engaged in this activity. Or, if you want to say they can take a gift, so we learned because there's no way they can survive. Eis lasois lahashem heferit harasech. If they're not going to take a gift, there's no way Torah will ever survive, so that is an exception.
Is that considered tzedakah?
It's considered meiser, I believe. That's a very big topic. What is considered? What can you consider? I once heard a share on this. The topic of the share was: can you use meiser money for ksiva sefer Torah? It was a shul, and they had a campaign to write a sefer Torah, and everyone was asking the same question: can I use my meiser money for fulfillment for this mitzvah? So the rabbi spoke. I heard the red drasha, and basically, the rabbi came out. It's a big machlokes.
Surprise.
And some say some have a very strict approach. Some of the Ramah and the Taz and the Shach, he was farfing all the different farshim. And basically, how do you fulfill stock meiser? At least meiser ksofim. At least some hold it has to only be given to poor people to give them what to eat. Food for poor people. You cannot forgive soup kitchen. You cannot fulfill meiser by giving money for Talmud Torah, for a mitzvah, and certainly not for the mitzvah of ksiva sefer Torah. Some wanted to say very interesting is that the people today who are writing sefer Torah, by and large, they're very poor. They're very poor. And what? So not all. Some of them are. Some of them are. Most soifim cannot make a parnasa in America. That's why there are very few soifrim in America. 90% of the soifrim write in Eretz Yisrael. Because in America you can't make a parnasa. Because the amount, how much does the soifer get for writing a sefer Torah? If you're very, very good, it will be $50,000.
Right.
How long will it take you to write a Sefer Torah?
Yeah.
Between 6 to 12 months.
Yes.
So it's $50,000, and then the people are getting commissions. So let's say the Sefer walks away with, a good Sefer will walk away with $45,000.
They're not charging that in Israel.
What? No, that's their charge in Israel.
Same, right?
They're getting, it's the same way. There's no difference. A rate in America is the same thing. What? So in America, for a person's only parnasa to be $45,000, and you have a family of 10 kids, and you're paying tuitions, and your wife's not working, you're not going to make it. You're not going to make it. So
even till the mezuzahs,
that's the question. You have to be very, very good and very in demand. In Eretz Yisrael, the standards of living are much lower, and many people can't survive on that kind of salary. So that's why only in Eretz Yisrael. So a lot of the seven are, and the truth is, it's a fact. They're very poor. They're doing this just to stay alive. So someone argues that a lot of the things that you do for parnasa, you're actually giving tzedakah in a very dignified way. The greatest form of tzedakah is giving a person parnasa. That's the greatest tzedakah. So even though it's funny, even though you would think that giving a sefer Torah, so most people will look down at this. This is just for show. Who today could afford to go give a Sefer Torah, have a Chalas Sefer Torah at a party? It's just people look down on this. It's a show. It's not. It's just showing off. The truth is, it's not so bad. At least you're giving the Sefer Parnasa. He has a Sefer, a poor family. Many times you can find out. You select who the Sefer is. And for some people, that's a qualification. I'm not so concerned about the Yoifi HaKsaf. All the various samples that you're going to show me. You go to a cipher, you'll show me samples, 10 samples. They're all pretty much the same. One a little nicer, one a little nicer. What's the criteria? He should be a Yorei Shemayim. They're all the same league. They're all the same. Who's the poorest of them all? Who needs the money? That's a real mensch. You go to have a chlas sefer Torah. You have a person has the money to go buy a sefer Torah in honor of a relative, a parent, and you want to give a sefer Torah. And you go to the sefer here in America, the middleman. You say to him, "Here are the samples. Who needs the money? Which of these 10 sefer needs the money to survive?" That's big time. That's really nice. That really shows a certain, greatness, where you select the not based upon the ksa, but upon the one who needs the money. I actually, there was someone over here, I saw a conversation with someone who's a person fairly wealthy, and he wanted to give money to a shul for svarim, to buy svarim for the rabbi. He gives shiurim. So the rabbi said to him, "It's very nice. The money would be well spent. You know, we can use the money for svarim, this, that, but give the money better to a tzedakah, Yad Eliezer, or someone that to feed poor people who need to know what to eat." So the person, "I give money to that also. I give money. I give plenty of money to this tzedakah, that tzedakah. I want to diversify. I want to give. I want you to give shiurim. I come to your shiurim. I want to give money. You should, the people in the nation have money for sarm." So the rabbi is like, "All right, he felt guilty taking the money. You don't really need the money. We have what we need." So the guy Taki said to him, "Listen, when you buy the svarim, I know that the people who write the svarim, they're very poor. It's true. You go to Beagle Eyes, and a lot of the svarim they put out on the table are published privately by poor Talmidei Chachamim, Tairasa Umnasa. This is what they do for Parnasa. They learn. And the Sibakanoi is they publish a sefer. To publish a sefer costs a lot of money. It's not cheap. And you supplement, so..." He told this rabbi, "You'll buy svarim that you know that the people who are writing the svarim need the money. Or at least it'll help them, it'll subsidize." So the rabbi was very happy with that. He liked that very much. He liked that idea very much. You take a diversify your tzedakah, you give to all different causes, and you want to give for svarim, for Talmud Torah, and you're telling me I should select svarim that you feel will the people who publish these svarim, they can use the money. It's also a form of tzedakah. So that there's definitely something to it. Okay, so now going over here to this idea of Seine Matano Siyichya with regard to Shabbos Kodesh. Should a person take handouts in order to be ma'aneg, to enjoy Shabbos? Someone invites you for a delicious Shabbos meal. So he's going to spend on you $50. $100 for his Shabbos meal. So should I go to his home, be a guest in his? I know that when he does not have guests, he just has a piece of challah, a piece of fish, and he's done. But when I come to his suda, then his wife goes out to the store, they buy salads, and they buy cholent, they spend money. Another exception to the rule. Don't feel that you're taking away your olam haba of sonei matanos yichya by being invited for a Shabbos meal. You can love matanas when it comes to the purpose of a mitzvah, but we still have to discuss, analyze this more. I don't know why it's exterior. First he says lo shayich, lo shayich. It's like, I love you, my yidid nefesh, but you're a shaita. Same thing we had before. Beshut. Bishut, let's see. Siach Yitzchak, Hevi Dvar V'Kasam L'Chalik El Dvar. He disagrees. V'Chiyach Kemi Mashu Amu B'Tal She Talmidei Chacham Yesh Lo Din Shabbos V'Avak B'Vur B'Chulin She Rabbi Eliezer Lo Yilokach Matanah She Shol Chulin V'Beis Hanasi Uch She Zmino Yoyso Lo Yicholach Amar Einan Ad Ataroitzer She Echye Amayse Shohayi with the Nasi invited him, Rabbi Eliezer, to a Suda Shabbos, and he refused. And when they demand, why don't you come? You don't trust the Kashrus. So he says, you don't want me to live. The Chassid Soini Matanos Yichia Harei Avshe Talmidei Shetalmid Chacham Nikra Shabbos Leim Mekabel Matan. Now he's giving a drush. He didn't invite him for Shabbos meal. He invited him for dinner. But he says the essence of a Talmud Chacham is Shabbos. It's a drush. The Talmud Chacham is his whole essence is Shabbos. So therefore, when you invite him for a meal, it's together. Suda Shab. All right, this is a little bit of a stretch, but that's what it says. So Yichli v'Hari Avshat Talmid Chamdik Shabbos Loi Mikal Matanas V'Hu Adin Avur Hashabbos Kodesh Gam Lo Yehoiv Matanas. So he disagrees. The Siach Yitzchak disagrees with the Eish Shel Avram and says that it's a good excuse not to go to a Shabbos meal because you are playing around with Soinei Matanos Yichya. Onam Kvar Haricho Apeiskim Soinei Matanos Yichya Nema Gam Talmidei Chacham. We had this yesterday. Halakech Litzach Sipu Sipuko V'Limudo Kavur B'Steichened U'Vimaris Ayin V'Sefer Kosav She'al Yidei She'at Talmidei Chacham
Mekabel. I guess that doesn't make sense.
Well, sometimes you have no choice. Well, sometimes there's a difference between when you have a choice and when you do not have a choice. A person does not have a choice, you have no choice. But here we're dealing with a person, I have a choice. I don't need to come to your Shabbos meal, I have what I need. You want to enhance my Shabbos with a delicious, super duper, over the top Shabbos meal, which I don't need, but would be an enhancement, then we're discussing the issue, maybe it's not the right thing to do. You can say, Soinei Matanos Yichya. If there's reciprocation, which is very common in this community, right? You come to me, and I'll show you what I can do. You think you know how to make a Shabbos meal? I'll show you how to make a Shabbos meal. So when there's reciprocation, we learned yesterday that's certainly not in the category of Soinei Matanos Yichya. But every so often you have a situation where there is no reciprocation. It's just a matter of taking handouts. And you don't need to do so. So should a person feel this pressure, what it says of Soinei the Daf, Soinei Matanos Yichya? So he says, they have over here two different opinions. So the Maris Ayin, Kosav Sh'al Yidei Shetamichom, Mekabuhum, and Zaki, Lenoi Sein, Pumfa Keret, Adaraba. You're doing the Gnoisin a favor. This is a very dangerous attitude. By accepting a gift, you're doing them a favor. Their sins are forgiven. Yesh Litzayin Shebesefer Mishnas Haroyim Kosav Shafkos Halvaos Leshach Hatam Shesemet Nesichia. Okay, that is definitely not, that's another topic. Before we go further, review the topic. But basically, over here, the bottom line over here is there's an approach that sometimes you're doing other people a favor. It's something that's very true. Suddenly, they feel the need; they have this need to invite guests. So by you coming to them, you're really making them. you're satisfying their psychological needs. They desperately need someone to talk to. They need someone to be close with. So therefore, by coming to them, even though they're giving you a lot of food, it's still, who's doing who the favor? Okay, then he talks about one last topic, and that is if a person owes you money. A person owes you money, and the lender says, you know what, I'm moichel the loan. Are you allowed to accept? If you say, thank you so much, I owe you $1,000, and you're so kind to me to say to me, keep the money, I'm not going to be tovea the money. Is not paying back the loan, is that included in the staff of Soine Matano Siyechia? So he says here, it's not so simple. What?
Maybe it's ribbis.
Not ribbis. Ribbis is definitely not. Ribbis is only when it was originally arranged that you're going to pay back more money. So here it was definitely not arranged that you're going to pay back. You're going to pay back more money. And in fact, there's no ribbis. Not even paying back. I don't know. Probably you're not even paying back.
You just
the loan. So he says over here to look. It's this. So if a person is on the receiving end and the benefactor, the lender says, you know what, I'm mechel. Keep the money. So if you're a person who generally follows the rule of Soine Matano Siyechia, is this also included in Soine Matano Siyechia? So you would say, of course it is, right? You're getting a free gift. But he seems to say that there's a svara to say not. That there's more grounds to be lenient. I guess it's because you're not actually at this moment taking. The moment when you talk, it was with the kavana to pay. Now time has passed, and now it's just a question of not paying back, and the person releases you from your obligation. So there is another degree of removal of actually receiving a gift. So even though obviously it's not obviously such a great thing to do, but it's not in the same league as actually taking a full-fledged gift. Okay, next. Next topic is very Kabbalistic, it's very interesting. Achilas Peros B'tu B'Shat. Okay, that's the next holiday, right? First, December 25th, January 1st, I have a Sar B'Teves in the middle, and then we have Tu B'Shat. Anything else until then? Am I forgetting something? What?
President's Day.
President's Day. Sar B'Teves, President's Day. The Chagim. Thanksgiving is certainly part of the Chagim. Okay, now here is Tu B'Shvat. So why do we eat fruits on Tu B'Shvat? We eat fruits on Tu B'Shvat because it's Rosh Hashanah Lilanos. So he says something very interesting. B'sefer Mat'amim Kosav Tam Noisef L'Achilas Taperis B'Tu B'Shvat Ki Al Roiv Chal Yom Azeh Parashas B'Shalach She'siyim Asedra M'sayim B'Molchem HaSamolek V'Tu B'Shvat Hu B'Shanim Not this year B'Shanim Shut Lamed Yom Kodim Purim L'Rame Shebiyom Shechorev Beis HaMikdash V'Nitla HaTahara Nitl Gam Kein Es Tam V'Yesreya Chashumim Shebeperos Ki De'isa B'Divrei Chachmenu Zichron L'Vracha U'Chshiyav Ruach HaTomah Min So saying a lot of things in one shot. Purim, he says, basically is the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. Isn't that what it says over here? That the essence of the miracle of Purim, what's the bottom line? What do we take out of Purim? We're learning Megillas Esther. What do we take out of the Megillas Esther? When the miracle of Purim came to an end, we produce Daryoveh Shaparsi. And Daryoveh Shaparsi is the one that gives permission to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. And when we rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, the Shechina returns to Eretz Yisrael. And when the Shechina returns to Eretz Yisrael, the Peros are once again filled, replenished with true flavor. Tu B'Shvat is already the beginning of Purim. So it's part of this chain rule. Tu B'Shvat is 30 days before Purim. Purim is the holiday which captures the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash, which in turn brings the Shechina to this world, which in turn restores flavor to fruit. So we begin to see the light at the end of the tunnel as far as flavor in fruit, and that's why in Tu B'Shvat we eat fruit. Forget about Rosh Hashanah Li'ilanos, let's just talk about the calendar day. Even though this does not always work out, this does not work out for Purim on a year when there are two Ad, like this year, when it's a Shana, when there are two Adars, but in a regular year, this is indeed true. U'v'kuzari kosav shemi shegodal shegodal v'sholim yosef b'ruchnis, a person who is sensitive to spirituality, who nene yosef mitamo achila, he can derive sanctity from food. U'v'michtav meliyo kosav shnir shemukaro mimash amu b'sugin miyom shchabes hamikdash notal tam haperos v'tam adov shadavka hu haroy lezeki u'musugil yosef lahamik b'bruchase. So it's amazing, Rav Dessler, he writes an incredible chiddush from this Gemara, that when the base hamikdash was destroyed, the tam of the peros were diminished, the flavor was diminished. But that means every community is a mikdash ma'at. Every person on their degree of spirituality, to the degree that they have restored the Shekhinah in this world, will once again retrieve and sense in fruit flavor. So the more spiritually mature and sensitive you are, the more you'll be able to derive unique flavor and benefit in food. Look at Moshe Rabbeinu. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu want to go into Eretz Yisrael? Did he want to eat the fruits? What's the deeper? What do we want to eat? The answer is, what about, why would he want to eat the fruits? What's the Havamina? Because in the fruits is the special spiritual flavor. Moshe Rabbeinu, he in the Midbar, he already had access to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he already had the ultimate. He already had communication to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He did not need the enhancement of the fruit. He already had the real thing with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he did not need that extra degree of spirituality. Okay, let's go very quickly in the next paragraph. Is it kedai to give your children piano lessons, violin lessons? Anyone here play musical instruments? Dr. Fuchter, no? You play musical instruments? The children do? Some of them? Okay, so is it kedai to give music lessons to children? I my parents enrolled me in violin lessons, and I just couldn't do it. I just didn't have the skill. So my parents, after halfway through the lessons, they said, what a waste, there's so much money. And this guy here can't even get through the lessons. So let my oldest sister let her finish off the lessons. And today she's a professional violinist. She plays for orchestras. So it's only because of me. Because I dropped out, I made room for a real professional to take my place. So is it kedai? So the answer over here is the Gemara says with the Churban came the loss of music. So from this we can basically say that since there is no Beis Hamikdash, it's not kedai today to engage in the study of music, because that is something that is only reserved for times when there is a Beis Hamikdash. Basically, Zecher L'Churban demands we be memayit in music, and what better way to be memayit in music than not to learn how to play a musical instrument?
You gotta be ready.
Okay, obviously, this is not lahalach what I've just said. Let's see what it says. So therefore, apayskim dano im yesh lochash milamed lenagin bechlei negina. V'inei mefurish b'shulchan aruch she'osro l'shir afilu b'peh al hayayin. That's a given. You're not going to go have music accompanied by wine. That's a given. So if you're not allowed to sing, if you're not even allowed to sing when it's at a party of wine and a mishtayayin, certainly you're not allowed to play musical instruments at a mishtayayin. That's a given. That's a Shulchan Aruch. The kol shekain lanagim bechli shir v'chol shemim mishmi kol shir avshloel yain. No, that's an exception. So this is we're talking about a shir, a party or a rishos. Uvabach v'shlo naktu kein lemaisa achli ramos sham bevud shav bechlei bechli lo gozru il al yain. The ramos says you're only not allowed to play musical instruments when it's accompanied by wine. Oy lemisha ragel bohem tamid b'shachav v'kol. You're not allowed to go and wake up in the morning, and you're not allowed to have a person, a higher person, to wake you up by playing musical instruments. You'll go to sleep with musical instruments. Kedasa Tur Sham. But if it's not going to be accompanied by wine, then there is no prohibition. B'shuvus haragos kosav shul tzorach umis. It's a given that if you're learning a trade, you'll not even learn how to play music practice during the 3 weeks, during the 9 days. That's pashat. V'loy l'simcha levad mimutud l'nagin sh'afam chabal yosay l'kashayitz l'shem simcha l'shem l'samech b'hem. V'kol shchil l'dasa ramah zal v'al smach sel loim des harbe b'nois melochas hanagina b'tikva sh'yasigu b'zeh eze parnasa. So it's a given that if you're learning how to play music to make a parnasa, of course, mutter. V'hinei, sham, shagam b'rusya. What? Binos, it says the girls. Today you notice in all the weddings by the chuppah there are women. The years ago you never saw women players. Today there's a new industry. Many of the people who play by the chuppah on these fancy weddings. These fancy weddings they have online are women. What?
Cello,
but even the violin, and by the wedding itself, you don't see it. You don't really see it too much. Yeah, you do see it
before the wedding.
Who's playing?
Clarinet.
Okay, so. Okay, but years ago you didn't see too many women. Today it's more common to have women play at weddings. They learned how to play. They did not protest. Obviously, you need some recreation. Better, not everyone is cut out to sit and learn the whole day, and better learn skill or learn something positive than waste time doing narishkeit. Tasuka be I don't know Boilam Hazeh, yeah, Boilam Hazeh. Yistovivu b'ruchayvois be'efes maaseh by doing terrible things. Olu l'havichashal m'dvarim ha'chamurim l'chein shasku li'ukwaiv le'michu v'yavshein mis'ablin al yishlayim ki b'tzvasa. Mikomokom yarevichu, they benefit shal yavo mizel l'oid averos v'tziv das ramah hanal v'tzim gam l'me'iri shenire shal yosru b'chle shirak b'nigunim shal pritzos avol kishanigunim shavach gutihilas la'ashem yisparach mutter u'lechein l'uch If you're not doing it to learn umnis, then ask a Talmud Chacham, and they'll certainly tell you today there's no harm as long as you're not causing anyone else harm. Me'ilas ha'ne'ilas ha'neginim goes over on a topic. Me'ilas ha'neginim avur gam sefer ha'kabbalah la'harayvit shekosav l'shabech kama mechachach me'yishol shechibu shiros v'sheshpachos l'kadukum k'shabrichu chasidim. That's the whole chasidus is into music. Munkach, mojitz. Majus. Oh, majus, man. They're like the biggest, the greatest of the great. Because of Shemehem, Shechibus, Sforim, Machzoros, Veshios, Veshishpochos, Lyotrenu, Yisal, Shmoy, Omen, Benachamos, Lyishol, Lechazik, Eslium, Begolus, and this is a chizik, the Klai Shol, to have beautiful music. Mehem, he gives different people, Shlomo, Ben Yehuda, Ben Giburil, names of Chocham, Godel, Mashur, a very famous person, Rabbi Yitzhakara, Bar Yehuda, Ben Gias, Verebi, Oyev, Hanossi, Bar Meir, Hanossi, Ben Sherat Nikish. Rav Moshe Bar Yaakov ben Ezra Mizrach Hamishra v'Chacham Gadol b'Torah v'Chacham Yivanis v'Bal Shilas v'Shpachos v'Chol Shmei Oysam Yerach Liva the heart melts the Amale Mira Siyetzu Yifil of Yerushamayim the Rabbi Yosef Haydin by Yitzchak. All these names. Let's jump down to the next paragraph. Okay, all these various names. On the other hand, I once heard a Rav screaming and saying, "I never saw a person." After listening for 2 hours to Mordechai Ben David, Mashiach, 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 and then come and open up a sefer and be a bigger mitzvah for Mashiach than he was before. I never saw this, so something is wrong. Even though it says this over here, we just read over here that Adrab, all of these Hasidim, all these rabbis, they were Mechaben Nigunim to bring Yerach Levavo, a person's heart should melt. We're doing something wrong because we don't see people today listening to music are becoming bigger Yorei Shemayim by listening to these melodies.
Yeah, but it's to bring up the spirits of people.
Okay, absolutely, 100%, yeah. That's why it's extremely widespread.
Why it's
proof is in the pudding. It's an industry. It's a multi-million dollar industry.
When the Satmar Rebbe lost his daughter in 1953, they came to my grandfather to write him a niggun to cheer him up.
Really? Yeah. They said the Rav Chutner, every Mitzvah Shabbos, had someone come play the violin for him. Rav Chutner was depressed at certain tekuvos in his life, and every Mitzvah Shabbos, a violinist would come and play the violin to lift his spirits. He said that music is the most edel of all the gashmias, all the forms of food, drink.
Except for rap music.
Rap music, you know. I'll tell you something. I met a fellow. I'm not trying to brag and toot my own horn here, but I met this guy, and he was going through a very hard time. So I was talking to him. He says, "What do you do?" So he says, "He makes rap music." So I said to him, "You know, I really meant, I used to travel on the train more than I do now. And I used to hear, and I told him, I'm very impressed with rap music. I said, there's a lot of chokhmah. It's really the koyach, you need a vocabulary, and you need chokhmah to really, there's something really special. And maybe you can sing for me some of your." And he did. He started doing. And then he told me a couple of weeks later that he never met a person. I'm not trying to brag over here. That really was mishabeachim, because he comes from a Shomer Shabbos family, a real Haredi home, and they looked down at him. He was shugana. What are you? Oh, you're sick in rap music. And this guy is really depressed. And this is what he has to koyach. And I try to praise him. I try to encourage him. And I told him it's a very big chokhmah. And you have this chokhmah. You should be proud. And he really, you know, was uplifted. All right, you know, we're out of time. So we'll leave this for the next time.